for you.
And now you've gone back to her.
He stepped around the bed, then sat on its edge, on her side, close enough to Joanna to reach out and touch her, yet he kept his hands on his knees. Joanna, it wasn't her. It could have been anybody. I was alone. We haven't made love since we went to the space station.
So it's my fault?
No, he said quickly. Nobody's fault but mine. Not even Melissa's, really. I should have kept my wick in my pants.
Your wick?
Despite herself, Joanna smiled a little.
I've never heard it called that before.
It was a rotten thing to do, he said. It won't happen again, I promise you. She sighed wearily.
So did Gregory.
Paul gritted his teeth. You knew that was going to come up, he said to himself. I'm not Gregory, he said tightly. Joanna's shoulders slumped.
Maybe it's me, she murmured. Maybe I do something to cause this sort of thing to happen. Maybe I pick out men who'll betray me.
Paul reached out and took both her hands in his. Christ, Joe, it's not your fault. I'm the guilty party here. She wouldn't look into his eyes. You knew about it, didn't you? Paul asked. You knew about it before I landed.
Greg told me that you and Melissa were traveling together.
Greg?
I told him I didn't believe it, but he said I could check with the travel office, so I did.
She was in several of the same cities I was. I only saw her in the offices, though. We weren't traveling together. We weren't shacking up.
Until last night.
That was a mistake that won't be repeated. Joanna said nothing. She still would not meet his eyes. I think Greg sent her to nail me, Paul said. The bitch did this just to cause trouble between us. With a weary shake of her head, Joanna replied,
Greg is finished with her. They broke up. He can't stand the mention of her name.
That's an act he puts on.
No, she said. I know my son better than that. He hates the sound of her name.
Then it had to be Brad who set me up.
Why does it have to be a trap? Joanna asked. Why can't you accept the fact that you've made a mess of our marriage?
Don't say that. I don't want our marriage to be hurt.
It's been hurt, Paul. You've heard it.
Okay. I know that. But
I'm pregnant.
It hit him like a physical blow. Paul sat there, hunched forward, holding both Joanna's hands tightly in his. He blinked several times.
Pregnant?
In his own ears, his voice sounded a full octave higher than normal. Joanna nodded.
It wasn't just the weightlessness that was making me sick on the space station. I've been sick every morning for...
We're going to have a baby?
Suddenly everything was swept away. A baby. Paul had never even considered the possibility.
At his age, at Joanna's age, would you be okay? Can you do it without endangering your health? Joanna smiled patiently at him.
It's not an illness, Paul.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, isn't it kind of late in the game for you?
The obstetrician says I'm in fine condition, and there's no reason why I can't bring the baby to term.
A baby? Paul glowed with the wonder of it. I never thought I'd be a father.
Her smile widened. It does happen, you know. He pulled her to him, sat her beside him on the edge of the bed, and kissed her on the lips.
We've got to take extra special good care of you.
But Joanna had not forgotten anything. Paul, about this thing with Melissa.
That was finished this morning, he said quickly, and nothing like it is going to happen again, ever.
I want to believe you.
Believe it.
It's just that Gregory started womanizing when I was pregnant with Greg.
I'm not Gregory, he said firmly. I told you that, and I meant it.
For several moments, Joanna did not reply. Then, all right, Paul, I'll believe you.
For now, she added silently, I'll trust you as far as I can watch you.
Maybe it will all work out all right, but I'm not going to sit by and watch my second husband humiliate me the way my first one did.
And Paul was thinking, this changes everything. I'll have a kid to take care of. A son, maybe. I can't let Greg get his hands on the corporation. Not now. It's going to be my child's inheritance. A son. I want it to be a son. Ed McPherson was a chubby, moon-faced, bald-headed, make-believe Texan who dressed like a cowboy instead of the head of a major corporation's extensive legal department. Born in New Jersey, educated at Princeton and Harvard Law, he cultivated a handlebar mustache and made a fetish of wearing cowboy boots, suede jackets, and bolo ties. Word was around the office that the only time he wore a business suit was when he appeared before the Supreme Court of the United States, which was never. McPherson rarely strayed farther from the headquarters of Masterson Corporation than the corporation's Wall Street offices in New York. Paul was in his office in Savannah when McPherson's call came through. He put the lawyer's image on the display screen of his desktop computer. Gregory had prostate cancer, McPherson said, with no preliminary. Terminal. Paul sank back in his swivel chair. You're certain? McPherson hardly ever smiled. He tried to keep a stony, hard-bitten look on his face. It was difficult for him, despite the luxurious mustache he sported. His round cheeks and bald dome did not lend themselves to a gunslinger's beady-eyed glare. The agency I hired tracked down the doctor who diagnosed him. It was so advanced that no treatment was possible. Christ, Paul muttered. He'd been seeing half a dozen different doctors over the previous 5 years or so, McPherson went on. He knew about the cancer, looks like, but refused to do anything about it until it was too late. But there are treatments for prostate cancer, Paul objected. McPherson made a sour face. You run the risk of incontinence and impotence. I doubt that Gregory worried much about peeing his pants, but impotence would have been a big problem to him. So he just let the cancer go, and it killed him. Or rather, he killed himself when he found out it was terminal. Must have been giving him a lot of pain. Paul thought for a moment. You're certain about all this? You've got documentary evidence? McPherson brushed an index finger across his mustache. I can get written statements from each of the doctors, plus all of Gregory's medical records, if Joanna will sign a form demanding them. I'll talk to her about it. Thanks. That was good work. Wait till you see the bill, McPherson said, cracking one of his infrequent smiles. Paul blanked the screen, then sat thinking. Will Joanna be willing to sign such a form? Should I bother her with this? She's got enough on her mind, and I shouldn't be upsetting her with old stories about Gregory. It'll come up in the board meeting, Paul told himself. There's no way I can shield her from Greg's showing that damned video disc to the board. But now I know what Gregory was muttering about in the video. It wasn't us. It wasn't our fault. It was the cancer that was killing him, and the gun was going to protect him from the pain. He was pissed off with the doctors, not us. He knew he was a dead man anyway. He just stopped the pain for himself. I've got to tell Joanna. She shouldn't feel any guilt about this. Paul nodded to himself, satisfied that he had all the necessary pieces to the puzzle. One puzzle, he remembered. There's still the question of who got Melissa to set me up. Was it Brad? And if it was, how can I prove it? He shook his head slowly. It's going to be one hell of a board meeting. One hell of a meeting. Over the Atlantic. Supersonic aircraft were not allowed to fly above Mach 1 over populated areas because their sonic booms disturbed people and rattled their homes. Farmers complained of milk cows gone dry because of sonic booms. Environmentalists protested against sonic pollution. So Bradley Arnold's flight angled out over the Atlantic after taking off from the corporation's private airstrip outside Savannah. Alone in the passenger compartment, sitting in one of the plane's luxurious padded chairs, Arnold had no time to admire the procession of deep swells on the steel-gray ocean far below him. He had expected Paul and Joanna to come with him to New York, but Stavanger had backed out at the last minute. "We'll fly up in my plane," Paul had told the board chairman. "But I thought we would all be going together," Arnold had said. "I've got a few things to do here this afternoon. We'll fly up overnight." What Paul did not tell Arnold was that he wanted to tell Joanna what McPherson had dug up about Gregory's cancer. Paul had no intention of letting the board chairman in on the news, not until the directors' meeting, when he would spring it on all of them, including Greg. Disappointed, Arnold had grumbled, "Oh, this is going to be an extremely important meeting, Paul. We could use the time.